This is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 233 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And I'm excited to bring you my interview with Cade Mercer from Guest Family Barbecue and Coco Ramen in Waco, Texas. I've been meaning to talk to Cade for a while now because I kept hearing his name come up, or I'd see photos of him, and I was wondering how he was connected to everyone. And then I did an interview with Brad from Chud's Barbecue, and he mentioned him, and so kind of reminded me I need to reach out and we connected, and it's a cool story. It's interesting how his road progressed, and like I said, this kind of involves Friedman's and Lambert's and Eastside Tavern. I just thought it would be nice to share his story and hear all about how Guess is doing and Coco Ramen is doing. So I think you're going to find this very interesting. They're doing some great stuff there in Waco, and you can tell that the wheels for Cade are always turning. He's got a great acumen. He understands things in a very conceptual way, and he went to culinary school. We talk about that, but we talk about food in general and then the specific things that he's really interested in. So I think it's a really great one. I think you'll really learn a lot about it, and you'll want to visit Coco Ramen and Guess Family Barbecue when you visit. They also have two food trucks. I'll have tons of information below and also in a companion blog, because there's far too much to get to in the intro. But I can't thank Cade enough for taking the time. I so appreciate it. The Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast and YouTube show is brought to you by, it looks like it's brought to you, if you're watching the YouTube version, Sam Joe's Barbecue. I'm wearing I just got the Sam Joe's hat in the mail, so I just happen to be wearing the shirt. So there you go on that one. But it's brought to you by Treaty Oak Distilling. That's treatyoakdistilling.com, or you can visit their physical location in Dripping Springs, Texas. Again, that's treatyoakdistilling.com. I have a website, kevinsbbqjoints.com, links to all the podcasts, YouTube stuff, as well as tons of other information. If you're digging these, please subscribe. That way you don't miss out. I'm putting out 2 to 3 of these per week. But in the end, make sure you support your local barbecue joint, be it by doing takeout, curbside, buying gift cards, merch, sauce, whatever you can, or get their stuff shipped nationwide. A lot of them are using Gold Belly these days or shipping themselves. So check that out. Try to support them that way. Support your local businesses, because without us, they're not going to survive. For all you guys, stay safe, stay sane, and I hope you guys enjoy these. When I was in Texas, I'm like, damn, this is what they talk about. This is real.
Yeah, it's super hot, especially in the smokehouse.
God, I can imagine. And also, too, like, I wonder how much, like, people that no one really, really knows, and I maybe we could even include this, but no one knows what it's like. It gets like 40, 50 degrees hotter than it is outside, right?
Absolutely. It gets way hotter. Sometimes you open the thermopin and you're like, wow, it's really that hot in here.
How are you doing? How are things going right now for you?
Things are going good. We've been navigating these times pretty well, trying to adapt and change as needed.
So you guys are pretty savvy. Has business been pretty steady? And what is, are you guys at 50% capacity right now?
We are at 50% capacity, yeah. Our dining room is open. We have a bunch of tables closed, like, to get at that number. But we have a really big building, so we can still see, I think it's like 140 or something. Wow. We never have people in here, but we can. And we wouldn't seat that many people, but we could still at 50%.
Is Texas mask required?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
And we definitely require them in here. We have them sitting at the door for anybody that doesn't have one.
That's good to know. And for people that might not know, if they just jumped in somehow, you're talking about Guess Family Barbecue, yeah. Right?
Family Barbecue, yes. Yeah.
And you spent a lot of time there before coming back to work at the main restaurant.
My time is split between everywhere that we have. I run it all. I have a really solid guy running Coco right now, so I'm not there a ton, but as we do more Coco Ramens, I'll be in those, Sam.
Gotcha. Are there going to be more Coco Ramens outside of Waco?
Maybe.
Okay, that's all you need to say. That's enough to say that there's possible. I'll make it breaking news that that's the whole reason why I wanted the scoop. No, I'm kidding. I've heard only good things, and it's funny because last night or the night before I read Daniel's article about you and Coco. I think it was in January or something again, right?
The second one, the one that was this year?
Yeah. I was just remembering how much I really wanted to visit, and I had heard a lot from Reed, and I even heard Reed talking about it. I think at one time, wasn't his nephew or working at it?
He still works there,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
His nephew is, I mean, his nephew can basically run the kitchen there now.
Wow.
I mean, he's come up. But I mean, I met Aaron the first time when he was like 13 at Lambert's. He like came to hang out with us for a day or two because he was interested in cooking.
That's cool that he has that 13 has the bug. I didn't really like I've worked in restaurants, but not in your capacity. But I think there's like at 13, and not every kid. I have my nephew's 18, and he has zero interest in working at a restaurant. It takes a certain time, and he probably because of Reed. Maybe it's interesting too how the progression. So did you work with Evan Leroy?
Some. I hung out at Friedman's for a few months with him because I was opening a restaurant for some guys, and they worked it out with Quattro, the guy that owned Friedman's, for me to go hang out there. And I ended up becoming friends with him and Chris and Brad.
It's interesting though, because and your name got dropped. I don't know if you heard the Brad interview, but your name got dropped in that one.
Yeah, he told me that. He was like, "Yeah, I dropped your name in the Kevin's Barbecue Joints." I was like, "Oh, okay, cool."
It's funny too, because as he said it, I'm like, Ksh! And I think I probably wrote you like the next day or the day after, because I need to. So let's talk about, where did you grow up, in Austin or in the?
So I grew up in, I mean, basically in the Austin area. I grew up in a small town about an hour south, in between Austin and San Antonio, New Braunfels. So I grew up in between New Braunfels and Seguin my whole life. And then, I mean, I moved to Galveston right out of high school to go to A&M Galveston. That lasted about a year. Then I went to California, to the Fresno area for like 9 months.
How was that?
It was fun.
Isn't that Fresno near Yosemite-ish?
Yeah, it was only like an hour from Yosemite. I went like 4 times in that 9 months. That place is awesome.
So it's unworldly, yeah. That's awesome.
And then I moved back to Texas and started working at Rudy's.
Oh, okay.
But I had worked in restaurants all through high school. Like, I got my first cooking job when I was 15.
Really? What restaurant was it at? What type of restaurant?
It was called Steaks to Go. It was like a building that's the size of my walk-in now. It was a building that size that just had a flat top and some fryers, and we sold steak sandwiches, burgers, and 8 ounce ribeyes for here to go.
I know I've had a drunken conversation with friends like a number of times, saying, it'd be great in LA if they had like just a steak place to go, where you could just grab a steak to go. But I don't know how good this place was.
Yeah, well, they had one in New Braunfels, Texas. I mean, it wasn't bad. The steak sandwich was really good.
It still there?
No, it closed down like, I don't know, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, something like
At that time, did you think, okay, I'm gonna do rest? Like, did you think that could be part of the bug, or did you?
that. Yeah, I wanted to go to the University of Houston and go to their hotel management and culinary program that they have there, but that didn't work out. So I ended up going to regular college and not liking it. I still wanted to cook. So no, I didn't go to culinary school till after I worked at Rudy's.
And which Rudy's was it at?
The one in New Braunfels.
Okay. And there's yeah, for a lot of people that, it's funny. I have a lot of friends that have come to Texas for South by Southwest, when the world existed, when there was a South by Southwest. And they're like, oh, I came, they had Rudy's, and they came back, and they're like, this is the best I've heard. It's like this and Salt Lick, they're the best places in all of Texas. And not to take anything away from either place, but there's a lot of other choices too.
But there's also nothing wrong with those
At
places. Like,
all, at all.
especially if you don't eat and cook barbecue for a living or every day, like, you don't know the difference. I mean, it's consistently good.
Yes.
Exactly what you're getting when you walk into those 2 doors.
And it's better than a lot of barbecue in a lot of places across the United States.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a good introduction, I think, for people to understand the concept of lining up, ordering by the pound.
It's also a great introduction for cooking barbecue, in my opinion.
What were you cooking on there?
I mean, everything. They have, what, 8 meats?
Not offsets. You guys are using what, J&Rs or?
I think Southern Fried's. I'm not sure. They're all big oilers, yeah, but they're not gas assist ones like we had at Lambert's.
From Rudy's, did you go to culinary school right after that?
Whenever I left Rudy's, it was to move to Austin and go to culinary school. I thought I didn't want to do barbecue anymore. I thought I wanted to go into fine dining and be a white chef coat chef for the rest of my life. But that didn't honestly last very long. Like, I applied at Lambert's a year before I got hired. So I applied right whenever I was starting culinary school to Lambert's, and then didn't get hired there. So I just worked at some random restaurants around town. And then whenever I was done with culinary school, I moved back to New Braunfels. And about a month into living in New Braunfels again, Reed cold called me one day, because he had just become the chef of Lambert's, and he had saved my number from whenever I stodged to
Oh wow.
see if he still wanted a job. And so I took it. 3 months later, I was a sous chef.
What's the full name of the culinary school that you went to in Austin?
Escoffier.
But isn't it like, as I was looking at it online, it's got like, it's Escoffier, but doesn't it have like
It's like Auguste Escoffier School of Culinary Arts.
Which, yeah, but everybody calls it Escoffier, yeah. And Escoffier is the one of the grandfathers of.
He's one of the pioneers of cooking.
So did you think that because of your, because a lot of people say they don't need to go to culinary school, and some people say they do. Do you think that helped you at Lampert?
I mean, yes, I think that going to culinary school helped me. Do I think going to culinary school is necessary to be a successful chef? Absolutely not.
That's a great answer, because it's not always the most expensive, inexpensive path.
Yeah, no. And I mean, you can do it without it. It just takes a lot more time and a lot of self-discipline and a lot of self-teaching.
Discipline. That's important. That's having that, and coming to work on time and working hard and doing the extra stuff and not standing around.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what was the time at Lambert's like?
It was awesome. It was Reed was the chef. I was one of his sous chefs. Charles Deason, who is about to leave Guest to go back to Austin, was the executive sous there. So we've all been working here together for a while. It was fun though. We were more on the fine dining side than on the barbecue side at Lambert's for sure. Like I definitely honed my barbecue skills after Lambert's to make them what they are now.
What kind of stuff were you putting out? Just more, because I've never been to Lambert's of all the places.
More seafood, more steaks, more. I mean, there was nights where we were selling more ribeyes than briskets. They've been open like 12 years now or something.
I always wondered if that's, and I kind of mix them up sometimes in my head for some reason with Friedman's. I don't know why.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, because they're both fancy barbecue restaurants.
Probably. There you go. That's probably why. So was Reed talking about opening his own place when you were there?
Yeah, he was. And whenever Reed decided to leave Lambert's, it was to move here to open his own place. His wife wanted to come back here. Her whole family's from here. Yeah. And then after Reed left, I stayed at Lambert's for 3 months after he left. But me and the new chef didn't really see eye to eye on everything.
Okay.
So I found another job with the people that were going to be opening a restaurant in Austin. It was supposed to be called Rustic East, but the name of that got changed to Eastside Tavern.
Tell me about Eastside Tavern. A lot of people have been connected to that.
So I was hired to be the opening like chef and pit master of there, and then I hung out at Friedman's for a few months, learned a whole lot from Evan and Chris and Brad and Lane. Can't leave Lane out.
Can't leave later, no.
But Evan wasn't there that long. Like Evan was leaving and Chris left also, like while I was hanging out there basically.
Brad came to Eastside Tavern too.
Yeah, he was helping me out. Like he was like freelancing. He needed hours and I was trying to get him on full time, but I couldn't compete with Evan. I didn't have a salary to give him.
Well, what's Eastside Tavern like? What kind of food was it? Was it like kind of like barbecue bar food or?
Yeah, I like barbecue bar food. So like I made these tater tots that we stuffed brisket and cheddar in them. Like we mixed them in the mixture and then stuffed them out of a sausage extruder and cut them into tater tot size.
That's cool.
Yeah. They're super cool. Yeah, I mean, it's a great restaurant to go at and drink at and get some appetizers.
How long were you there?
I was there for, I was with the company like almost 2 years, like in between a year and a half and 2 years. I was basically like, I didn't really want to live in Austin anymore at the time. And Reed hit me up. He really needed help. He was doing it all by himself. And I was like, you know what? Like, I'm just going to move to Waco.
Other than like the working aspect of it, how was that decision?
Waco has definitely grown on me in the last, it's been 2 years and 9 months almost since I've moved here.
What was it about it that it didn't, was it just like slower or?
I mean, yeah, it's a lot slower of a paced town. I mean, the food scene's not as good, but it's starting to thrive now. And I think that we're helping that a lot. And that's what I wanted to do. I mean, this town is booming and it had a food scene that was stuck in the past.
Now there's like a lot of different aspects of Waco. And Waco actually had, and probably a lot of people that listen to this don't like maybe don't remember, but Waco even had a crazier past.
Oh, yeah. Waco's been through stuff.
Through some crazy stuff. Yeah. And that's not necessarily, that's not my expertise in knowing how to explain what that was. But if you're, maybe I could put a link to like the Wikipedia page for Waco so people can figure that out. Did you go there to work with Reed at Coco or were you doing?
So they needed somebody to open Coco back up because Reed was cooking all the barbecue himself, like cooking the briskets all the way through, waking up for ribs. Like he was basically living out of his truck at the time. And they had hired somebody to try to start Coco Ramen and opened for like a few weeks or a month or something like that. And then that guy kind of just disappeared on them. They were in a bind also for that and needed to get it reopened. So that was the first thing I did when I got back, was when I were not got back, whenever I got up here, was open Coco Ramen. We opened that the week I moved up here, reopened it. I mean, yeah, I was helping Reed not have to cook all the briskets, not have to cook everything. Like, I started working brisket shifts also because my stepbrother moved up here with me, and he's been helping a lot with Coco.
Okay. Oh, wow. Wow. So it's a family affair. So Ed, but was Coco, did Coco move to a different location?
So yeah, Coco was in a food truck, and now we opened it in a food hall. So it's basically like a food court in a mall, but minus the mall.
Is it called Union or is that?
Yeah, Union Hall.
And is that open for 50% capacity?
It is, yeah.
There's no food halls open here in California at all.
That's crazy. There's a bunch here now. They've been popping up like all over the state.
Yeah, there's like there was ones that were either going to be open or had just opened, but there's no inside seating yet. Maybe some of those guys are doing curbside, I'm not sure. Did you help in designing the kitchen for at Union?
For Coco Ramen,
Yeah.
yeah. Me and Gene, one of the Reed's business partner, we went in there and taped it all up, figured out where we wanted everything, and
So let's talk. Could we talk a little bit about the menu for Coco for people that might not have been?
yeah, sure.
What's the experience like when you
So, I mean, it's barbecue inspired ramen. Like, there's it's traditional ramen, but with barbecue twists on it. Like the chashu, the pork belly that we serve in all of our ramen is smoked on the smokers here at Guess. We offer brisket add-ons. We offer fried spare rib add-ons. We do steamed bao buns with the smoked meats in them. Except we fry the bao buns, so they're not steamed. But
And the bao buns, do you have brisket in them or chashu?
yeah, it's your choice, chashu, brisket, or rib meat.
Does that work to go?
Yeah, it's okay. To-go ramen is never as good as fresh ramen. It's kind of the same as barbecue. It's better eaten right there, fresh, as soon as it's made. But I
Agree.
mean, yeah, if you put the noodles in an ice bath and keep separate and send it out, like it's okay. It's not bad to go.
Are people taking it to go?
Oh yeah, people
Yeah.
love it to go. It's just like barbecue. It's still great to go. It's just not as good as if you eat it fresh.
As you eat it fresh, right on off a tray. Yeah, I know. That's and I've thought about that too. I've it sucks for us here because that's all we ha that's the only option that we have in California is essentially to go or to eat it outside if there's a few tables.
Yeah.
The food hall is completely covered, right? There's no outdoor seating there.
There's like a patio outside, but that's it.
Are folks eating out on the patio?
And people are eating inside.
What are the hours for Coco?
11 a.m. to 8 p.m.
7 days a week?
Yes.
That's good. Is Guess open 7 days a week?
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's so smart. That's so smart. So let's talk about Guess and how. When did you guys open? I'm trying to go back in my head. When did the new location, the brick and mortar, open?
September 7th was the first time we had customers in here to buy food.
Of 2019.
19.
Wow. So you're getting close to the 1 year anniversary.
Year on both because we opened Coco in November.
Oh wow. Okay. So it's fresher. It just feels everything feels like an extended amount of time because of COVID. It just feels
Yeah, it's been the longest 6 years of my life.
it really has been. It's so freaking bizarre. That's and you've been showing a lot of food recently from Guess. So let's talk about the menu at Guess and the breakfast situation.
Sure.
Is breakfast just on the weekends?
So we only do brunch on Sundays at the moment. There's been talks of adding Saturday brunch, but we haven't gotten around to that yet. But you might see it happen eventually.
What's that brunch like?
So I mean, brunch has we do brisket hash, we do breakfast tacos on Flores tortillas, we do pancakes and pulled pork pancakes where we put the pulled pork in the pancakes. We do French toast.
But you can get all that plated with barbecue.
Oh yeah. Yeah, because we do, so for brunch we do build your own brunch, and we have biscuits and gravy also. I can't leave
Oh,
biscuits and gravy out.
can't forget that.
So yeah, you can build your own brunch, or you can order just a plate of any of those as like brunch entrees.
That's pretty crazy. Like, are people actually doing the build your own brunch?
Yeah, people do it some. Not as much as I think we would like, but like people tend to just stick to the plates. And order, like, we sell more brisket hashes and pulled pork pancake plates than we do build your own brunches that are built really well.
Yeah.
I mean, raise that. Because there's a lot of build your own brunches, but there's only some people that come in and really do it how we want them to, which is you order pancakes, you order barbecue, like, you order whatever you want on that tray.
So what's the ideal tray? If you're listening to this, what would be your ideal tray for brunch?
The ideal tray would be pulled pork pancakes, brisket hash, side of eggs, and probably like a quarter pound of brisket, or like spare ribs or baby back ribs.
Can you text that to me right now? Is that possible these days?
Yeah, sure.
That sounds killer. And then you guys have do you guys have alcohol?
Yeah, we have a full bar.
So then you can get like a breakfast.
All kinds of stuff, yeah.
So that with a mimosa or Bloody Mary wouldn't be bad at all.
Oh yeah, no, not at all.
It just sounds like a nap to me.
Yeah, I mean that's what brunch is for though, isn't it?
Of course,
You're
no, of course.
supposed to get a little day drunk and then go home and take a nap.
And then come back and get dinner.
We're not open for dinner on Sundays. That's the only
Oh
day
yeah,
we.
that's true. Okay, that's better. You don't need that.
We're open 11 to 8, 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday, and 11 to 4 on Sundays. Sorry, 10 to 4.
10 to 4, and are people lining up early?
I mean, people come in for breakfast early. We sell, and it's funny because you can kind of watch it transition from when you get to, from 10 a.m. to noon. All the people that come in from 10 to 11, it's like only breakfast. And then you start getting barbecue in there when it starts getting to lunchtime.
Does it seem like you're having mostly locals, or a lot of people coming from out of town?
It's a huge mix. We have a lot of locals that come here, but I mean, we get almost as many people coming in from out of town and sent over here from Magnolia or stuff like that.
Yeah, I think I've heard of Magnolia.
Everybody has.
Everyone's mom has for sure.
I said, if you haven't heard of it, just ask your mom.
Yeah, just ask your mom. And for my mom has mentioned many times, because I love barbecue so much, and obviously I do these things. She's like, if you go to Texas, you have to take me to Magnolia's. I'm like, I'll drop you off. But actually, speaking, let's transition to that, because you have a truck at Magnolia, right?
So we did Magnolia, and
Oh.
it will be going back in there.
Okay.
It's not in there currently though, because they're doing a bunch of construction, expanding right now. I don't think they have any food trucks inside there for like the moment,
Wow.
but I'm pretty sure that's going to be changing in the next few months. Within the
Expanding.
next, we'll be back in there. Yeah, they had a big parking lot on the side that they expanded out and made like a little village of shops. Yeah.
Of course. Do they have a they don't have a theme park yet. I guess it is a theme park on
I mean, it basically is.
it.
It's the theme park for not kids.
Yeah. That does draw crowds, and I'm sure, like, if like you said, if they those people want to come eat over at your place, their restaurant, I'm sure, is booked out like crazy, so.
Yeah, I've still never been to Magnolia Table yet. I've had food from there that got brought to me, but I've never been there. They always have crazy long lines.
It's interesting, a phenomenon like that, and it just shows the power of TV.
Well, because they don't actually take reservations. You have to go there and get on a list. Like, they
Oh.
don't have reservations.
Don't they also have like a better breakfast or something like that, or
Think it's being built right now.
no, they have a hotel. They're working at a hotel.
Oh, yeah. They are working on a hotel. That is true.
Yeah, downtown or something. Anyways. Well, so then where are your food trucks at?
We have one food truck at BSR. It's like a cable and surf park. For the summer, that's the one that's usually in Magnolia. We have it out there for the summer since we weren't in Magnolia for the summer.
What do you serve there?
We serve chopped beef sandwiches, pulled pork sandwiches, a brisket melt, hot dogs.
Oh, cool.
That's about it. It's super simple menu. And then we have a food truck behind a bar that just opened here in town. It's like a bar and coffee shop. And that we're just doing like barbecue Frito pies, one meat, two meat, three meat plates. And then meat and cheese, like charcuterie boards.
Who's making the charcuterie? Are you guys doing that too now?
We've been buying it for right now. We might get back into that, but I'm not sure.
Back into that. Did you guys make charcuterie at one time?
Charcuterie at Lambert's. So we have done it before, but I don't know. It would take me a few months to get it started how I'd want it. So,
How cool would that be, though?
I mean, it would be super cool to do that again.
It's definitely like anytime I see someone making that on their own, or I see a place that's like a standalone charcuterie place, like in Portland or Seattle, I'm blown away by the it's so artisanal, and
It's crazy.
it's crazy. And it's such a craft. Like I did a tour one time of Olympia Provisions up in Portland.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just ridiculously crazy what they can do. But that you would never want to do anything on that scale, I don't think.
No, I would not.
What's your aspirations beyond this, or do you just kind of take it one step at a time?
I mean, I definitely have goals to open my own thing eventually, but right now, as long as this company keeps growing and moving how it is, I mean, I think I'll be here for a little while.
How have you been mentally with COVID and everything? Has there been a moment at all where you thought, I have it? Like, I've had a couple times where I'm run down. I'm like, oh no, do I have it? And then obviously I never did.
Not really. I've been feeling great the whole time. Like, I mean, we've been working. I mean, we only see the same. There's only the people that work at the restaurant, really, that I interact with. So, not really. I've been okay with it all. I mean, yeah, it's been hard. Everything's shut down. There's nothing to do. You're super bored. Yeah, do you get the random thought like, oh, my throat hurts. Do I have COVID? Like, I don't know. Let me take some sore throat medicine and see how I'm feeling now.
You're the first person I've asked that, but I've asked like friends and stuff because I have friends that are hypochondriacs and they're like, they definitely think that they have it, and then they obviously don't. And I think the odds of having it are higher here in Los Angeles than they are in Waco.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think we have a lot of cases right now in Waco.
Maybe per capita, yeah, who knows? So is there anything that we haven't discussed that people should know about? Any of the things you guys have going on? Everything's connected on the guest's website, right?
Yeah.
Do you guys have any kind of grab and go stuff?
We do curbside still.
You don't have anything like where people can buy just meats like Cryovac and.
I mean, you can buy a whole brisket or a whole turkey breast like that, but that's it.
But that you do ahead of time.
Or you do it ahead of time. I mean, if you walk in and ask me for a vacuum sealed brisket, I'm gonna sell it
Okay, that's
to
good to know. But how often does that happen?
I mean, not that often now that stuff's kind of that restaurants have been opening back up and stuff like that. But while all the restaurants were closed, we were selling a lot of whole meat.
That makes sense. And people were buying more just because, they'd want it to last for a week or two. So where could people mostly see you?
I mean, yeah, I'm all around. There's not a guaranteed place to see me. Text me before you come, and I'll make sure I'm there. I mean, I definitely work. I mean, Guess is definitely your best bet.
Okay.
I spend the most of my time at Guess probably, besides running around. I'm constantly running errands and stuff.
Especially now you said you feel more comfortable with Coco running on its own.
And I mean, I cook briskets a couple days a week, like on our brisket cook's days off.
Has Reed taught you how to build a pit, or do you know how to build a pit?
No, I've watched him build a couple because he used to do them right next to where the food truck was where we were cooking. I've watched him a whole lot, but no, he hasn't actually let me weld or anything yet.
Is that any? Do you have any desire to do that?
No, not really. I'll still cook in the food as long as he builds the toys I want. Like, I'm cool.
That's all. How many 1,000s do you guys have in your pit room right now?
We have three. We have 3,000 gallons in the pit, 1,000 in the pit room, 1,000 gallon on a trailer outside it, and a 500 on the trailer outside it.
And there's room for two more thousands, right, in the pit room?
Not really. You could maybe squeeze one more, but we're done putting smokers in there. I think it has the smokers in it that it's gonna have in it. And we just built like a big direct cooking pit for us out there also.
Wow.
Plus, we've got the grill table and the other grill out there. So, I mean, it's pretty full out there.
Do you guys do anything, any crazy specials for nighttime during the week?
I mean, every week we do a donut special for brunch. We do a Monday night burger special. We do Taco Tuesday. And then we do chicken fried steaks on Wednesday.
That doesn't suck. I hate you guys. I wish I lived near.
Burger and taco are never the same. Like, it's not the same every week. We change it up a lot. It's more menu testing stuff.
Are the tacos with Flores tortillas?
Every taco we serve is on a Flores tortilla.
Did you borrow his something or other? Like, what was that metal structure that he had?
No, that's he was out there with us cooking. We talked him into coming. We did like a catering in a little small town right outside of Waco. I mean, Michael only lives like 45 minutes from guest
Oh.
like our restaurant, and he has this live fire tortilla cooker. It's like a plancha and a press in one.
Yeah.
So it was really cool to have him out there with us. We were catering a private party. We
Oh,
just asked him to go, and he was down.
that's so cool. I love this world. And thank you for taking the time. I just wanted to kind of put these pieces together, and in the end, hopefully I can give, a complete landscape of how this world has evolved from 10 years ago. When did you first start working with Reed?
Like 7 years
Oh.
ago?
Do you have any idea that you'd be working with him this long? Like off and on, it's.
No.
I hope to be able to get out there at least this fall. I hope things, they say things might kick up again in fall, but hopefully they won't, because I'd love to stop in. And it seems like you guys have created something where you can go multiple times at both places.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what we're trying to do. We give people options so they can come here more than once a week or once a month.
Exactly. And then Waco now is expanding, and there's other places, other barbecue spots, and there's other and other food destinations. So it's you guys have it's really cool. I'm really happy to talk to you, and I'm happy that you're healthy and happy and busy. That's great.
Oh, yeah, super busy, always.
Well, excellent. Well, say hi to Reed. Enjoy your day, and
All right, cool. Thanks, man.
all right, talk to you later. All right, have a great one.